burns. Sweat it out, wait my turn. And now it is my pleasure to bring on Matt Boudreau. He is the founder and CEO of Act On Academy in Placer County. He's brought with him three entrepreneurs who we will be speaking to in just a minute. And these three entrepreneurs that are going to be coming on in just a second, the one thing about these people is they are very, very young entrepreneurs. So you're going to need to stick around to hear who's coming on. But I think you're going to be amazed by the entrepreneurial spirit that lies in some of Sacramento's youth. I think today's going to be a fun show, and it's all been led by this man, Matt Boudreau. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well, man. Thank you for having us.
I'm glad you are here. I am glad you are here, and I heard your story, and I guess I was amazed, would be the short way of putting it, by what you are doing in Placer and helping our young people, I guess, think a little bit differently. Tell us what you're doing.
That's exactly it. I mean, thinking differently that's kind of our bread and butter, you know. So I came out of education, and that's one thing education's not known for is thinking differently. You know, we're in this world where, and you see it in business, where things are changing at this rapid pace, and then I'm sitting here working in schools, and we're not keeping up. It looks the same as it did when I was in school and when you were in school. Yeah. And so that's the point of this entire thing is to go, okay, well, let's equip these guys for what matters now and get them ready for what could potentially happen in the future.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I remember growing up and you had to memorize a lot of things. You memorize dates, you memorize your times table, statistics, all these different things that you sort of, I guess, memorize. And there was less education on how to think. And I have to imagine it Act On, that's part of the process.
That's a huge part of the process. So, you know, one of the things that differentiates us, we really have a few pillars that we focus on, but the Socratic discussions that these kids engage in, that's getting back to that critical thinking, right?
Okay.
Like, that is one of the biggest pillars for us because we want them to understand how to think. I have no desire to tell any of these kids what to think, but they need to know how to think, and they need to know how to express what they think, and they need to learn to genuinely listen to somebody else's point of view and then be able to have a conversation. It's not a surprise to anybody listening that most adults these days, right, can't have a conversation, especially if there's a disagreement. You know, we walk away from it mad at each other and it's name calling and everything goes down. You just look at the political scene and you can see all that kind of stuff devolve. So we want to get back to saying, okay, look, there's character involved. Talk about it. You talk about your side. And then when we're done, if we disagree, that's okay. High five. We're still buddies. Let's move on, right? Let's figure out how to move on together.
And you think about the entrepreneurship's becoming very popular. I guess it's trending in a way, but still here we are. We live in the capital of California and there's a lot of us that grow up thinking, hey, I hope I get a good job with a big company or maybe the government and really have that that pension and almost like conform to the way society has bred us to live our lives. But you're breeding a group of independent thinkers that can be anything that they want to be in their
life. That's exactly it. So we've had people that have said, you know, hey, do you think every kid should be an entrepreneur? I don't think, and I always stop them right there. I don't think every single person should be an entrepreneur, but everybody benefits from the entrepreneurial mindset, right? Even if you don't want to own a business and move that forward, having the understanding of how do I provide value? Where do I adapt? How can I be agile and maintain? Even if you go into an employment situation, you will inherently be a leader in that situation because you're thinking of how do I provide value for this company and how do I continue to move us forward, right? That's the mindset that we're trying to instill in all of them, which just so happens to obviously attract entrepreneurial families and people who are entrepreneurial minded. And so we will have a crazy amount of these kids that will go on and take their businesses into perpetuity. I know that's the case.
Yeah.
But even if they just bring that mindset into the workspace, it's a win-win for everybody.
Who should not be an entrepreneur?
You know, that's really a great question. And from one entrepreneur, you know, entrepreneur to another, I would dare say more people than not shouldn't be because you understand that there's lonely places in that, right? And everything falls back on your shoulders. So you've got to have that thick skin. You've got to be willing to say, I'm going to take the blame for everything. Everything is my fault. You can't hear the naysayers just as much as you can't hear the people that are singing your praises, right? And you've got to have that vision of moving forward. So if you don't have, you know, if some of those qualities aren't there, if you have a hard time with criticism, if you have a hard time wanting to adapt, then it may not be for you. But again, understanding that business thrives on the ability to respond, to be agile, to look for the next step. You know, that's going to benefit everybody.
For sure. And I've always felt, I've started a number of businesses and I've been around, I think I've interviewed or talked to about 5,000 entrepreneurs in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the most successful entrepreneurs, the one thing that they have that differentiates them, they've got, you know, all of them have a certain amount of creativity and resourcefulness and stuff, but it's a fight. It's a part of them that will never give up,
yes,
that will keep going, yep, after, even though it's extremely difficult.
That's it. And so, you know, we talk a lot at Acton about the hero's journey, right? And we reference that a bunch, and we reference that in the entire network. So there's a couple hundred of us operating globally, and we all talk about, that's a common thread, the hero's journey. And we reference kind of Joseph Campbell's work. You know, he coined the phrase, I think, in like 1949, but it's the whole hero archetype. You see that in movies like The Matrix and whatever. You see that there, where the hero has a challenge, something ahead of them, and they face some conflict. There's some falling down that takes place, but then they get back up. They rise like the phoenix. You know, they come back, yes, from the ashes, and they go on to make a change, to figure something out, and to bring some good to other people. And you see that hero's archetype in all these stories. That's what we're trying to give for these kids now. They're working on real-world projects now so that, you know what, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be an element of failure that may take place, but they're doing it in a safe environment when the consequences are, okay, now I've got to figure it out and do something better for my next project versus I've got a family or I've got a business or I've got other people that rely on me, right? We're giving them that fight now so that they can bring that into the world later when it matters.
Wow. So let's talk about your background and what prepared you to start a school. This school is actually in my hometown, Roseville. Mm-hmm. I grew up on Vernon Street. That used to be Vernon Street School when I was
Vernon
a kid.
Vernon Street School, yes,
yeah,
it
that's,
was. Yeah.
So now to see it become full circle, I think it was
awesome.
A few things in between, but now it's become a school and an entrepreneurial school at that.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your journey and what led you to this in your background.
Yeah, so luckily I came out of education, right? And I was at Stanford for quite a while working in higher ed, and decided I wanted to teach. And so I went into teaching, was a public school teacher, was a public school administrator, was a private school teacher, a private school administrator. And in the midst of all of that, I've got, you know, a big mouth, and I'm always trying to push things forward. So a lot of school districts started bringing me in to consult and to help other schools. And so in the process of all this, I'm seeing what's working, I'm seeing what's not, and I'm seeing where, you know, more importantly, there's stagnation in the industry across the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I started to kind of research, I'm a research nerd, and so as I started to kind of research how education got to be where it is now and why it's not changing, I'm sitting here going, okay, well, I'm not going to do this for my kids.
Okay.
You know, not only am I, did I not have this congruency with the integrity that I felt inside for the kids that I was helping, I'm sitting here going, man, I want to do something different for you, but there's all these ties, you know, systemically tying me back. I had my own kids to think about too. So, you know, we knew that we needed to do something different, and I knew that I needed to do something different for my children. So Acton Plaster was really born at the most foundational level out of my desire, my need to have the place that my children needed.
Wow.
And, you know, and I still keep that. It's great. I still have that perspective because the integrity of everybody that walks through those doors, that's what I'm going, okay, my kids are going here forever.
Mm-hmm.
So is this family a fit? Right? Is this the mindset here? Are we all on the same page? And when you're really, you know, we've got 130-ish kids, we've turned away more than that. And it's mostly because of the parent and the great people. It's just not a fit in the mindset. So when you continue to do that, we really end up building a community that's very special. You know, I'm not saying it's the panacea and there's never anything wrong, because that's just, there's human beings, so it gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
But the community that's developed, there's nothing else like it in education.
Let's talk about your journey a little bit.
Yeah.
So you decide to do this. You're a teacher.
Yeah.
You're in, I guess, the standard educational system. And then it's like, I'm going out of the system.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had a great reason.
Yep.
But it couldn't have been easy.
Hardest thing I've ever done.
Okay.
Yeah, hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, that's, you know, I tell other entrepreneurs, people that are starting to get into it, if they have kids, that's the only thing I can compare it to. You know, it's going to be hard to raise kids, but you're going to love them. And you know it intellectually, but then emotionally you go, wait a second, this was way harder than I thought, but I love them way more than I thought. That's what it's like starting a business, especially starting a school. Not an easy thing. You know, support from my wife was a big deal. And then just this drive that, again, I got my kids, so it's not going to, you know, there's no way it's going to fail. So I definitely, as we were getting this up and running, even up until now, I've had another job. I've been on the road. You know, I'll do 50 to 60 keynote presentations around the world every year. So I'm spending 500 to 600 hours in an airplane every year. Wow. And so when I'm home, every waking moment, or when I'm on the plane, I was working on building this
and
school.
And you're doing that. You're doing this travel and this speaking, right? Because that's part of paying the bills for the entrepreneurial dream.
Absolutely. It's part of paying the bills. And there's, you know, there's definitely a benefit as well, because I'm getting to rub elbows with people that are running all of these other organizations in so many different industries too. So I'm getting to talk to CEOs and owners and founders and hear from them specifically, hey, here's what we wish we saw in the younger generation, or here's what we're seeing now. And gosh, I wish this was different. And I wish, so that's an element of what we get to take back to, you know, to feed into these kids too, which is great. But you're right, at the most basic root, it was, I'm doing that because my family still needs to eat and live. And and then we're building this simultaneously. So,
well, let's talk about leadership qualities that you are attempting or working to instill in these young people.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you describe what you're working on in terms of leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, leadership, everybody's got kind of a different definition of leadership, but I think at the most basic level, it boils down to a self-awareness, right? And it's a self-awareness and self-confidence from actually having done something. You've got those two things, I think you're light years ahead of the majority of people in our society. I don't think people get a chance to get that, right? So that's really what we're doing, is we're trying to figure out who each one of these kids are, and more importantly, get them to figure out, who am I? What does my journey look like? What do I like? What do I really like to do? What do I want to pursue? And then give them the self-confidence from having to overcome those obstacles, right? To fall down, to come back up, because that's when the confidence is actually built and it's actually rooted. So we're taking those two things. That's, everybody asks, well, what's the curriculum? Self-awareness and self-confidence.
Wow.
That's the curriculum. We've got all this other stuff, right? We're school teachers. As long as you've got academia figured out, all of the other life skills come from that, and that's garbage. It doesn't ever work that way. We flip it upside down and say, no, that's it. And so by nature of focusing on that, all the other things end up taking care of themselves.
Everybody's got gifts. You gotta find those gifts.
Figure out what that is. You're not a robot for a reason. So what is that gift? What drives you? You know, what are you passionate about? But then more importantly, what is the skill set to pursue that passion? You know, follow your passion is always kind of the cliche advice, but if you don't know how to follow that passion, and if you don't know how to bring your passion to other areas of life that you may need to do first to transition to actually being able to work in your passion, right? All of those things are going to be handicaps for you if you don't have those. So, you know, we talk about kind of that full array.
I love that. Yeah. I always like to use the term attack your passion.
Yes.
Follow your passion sounds nice and sweet, but we know when it gets to entrepreneurship, when you start building companies, oh, it doesn't come that easy. You have to attack, and it's always more of a battle than what you expect.
It's absolutely more of a battle. So we talk about, you know, one of the things we talk about with these guys all the time too is that motivation is going to be waning. Motivation is going to go up and down. So if you're only attacking something when you're motivated, it's never going to happen. We talk about discipline. Discipline beats motivation every single time. So what is your plan? What is the system? What is the discipline that you're employing so that even on the days that you're not motivated, you still know, okay, here's how I take the next step today.
Yep.
All right? And discipline's far more important than motivation. So.
Wow. So you talked about not everybody gets in to act on. How do you decide who makes it in and who doesn't? Because there's only a select few that get in.
Yeah. So I wish I could tell you, okay, well, look, here's the scientific process. That's not it at all. So up till this point, literally I have sat down with every single interested person we have ever had. I'm sitting down for coffee or sitting down with, you know, going out to dinner with some of them, sitting down. I want parents first. I want parents more than I want the kids, because I need to see the parent, you know, the parental mindset matches up. From there, we set up shadow day so that the kid can come on campus and experience it, because we are so different. So I want to be as open and upfront as possible, saying, look, here's how we're different. I almost unsell it and say, look, is this something you're running to, or are you just running away from something else? Right. So we have those conversations, and then we have the kid, you know, be able to come in and spend some time. And so we just kind of see if there's mutual fits there. But now, because of the way we've been able to grow, we're kind of adding in, which I think is really going to help continue to build the right community. We have an open house. We actually have an open house tomorrow. So we've got about 43 families, I think, signed up for the open house. So they're going to come in. They're going to get to do some Q&A. They're going to get to take a tour, walk around, see the facilities, see the kids in action. There's going to be kind of a second step that's going to be a little bit of research on their part, some questions, some things they've got to dive into and kind of respond to. And then we'll set up the shadows. and then go from there to see what makes sense.
So there's a lot of positive, mm-hmm. obviously. What's missing? What are you not able to give that maybe a traditional school might give? I know growing up, I played, there's a lot of sports, and there was extracurricular at some level that maybe it wasn't entrepreneurial. It was not entrepreneurial.
For sure, of course. Yeah, absolutely. So that's, as far as what we aren't able to give, that's probably the biggest, most glaring apparent. Sports is a, you know, I've had families come and say, hey, look, we love the Acton model. And also, my kid really has a good shot. I think he was going to go to the NFL. Cool. Go to Del Oro. Like, you don't come here. We don't have that budding football program. We have a basketball team. We started a basketball team last year. We have, you know, high schoolers all have jobs on campus too. Mm-hmm. So our athletic directors are high school students. And so they've got us connected with, you know, basketball. We're adding volleyball this year. We've got cheerleading that's coming in. So we're developing that sports program, but it's not going to be the sports programs like some of the great schools around here that they have that. That's just not going to be a part of it.
My kids and my grandkids, they all are playing stuff outside the rec level, right?
Sure.
The competitive
sure.
sports. And I would have to think that that's a good place to fit. So you got the fourth grader who's a pretty dang good baseball player.
Right.
He can still play his competitive sports and come through your program. And if he ends up becoming somebody that's going to go to Major League Baseball, he can move at the time he gets into high school or play at some competitive level.
He can still connect, can still play at the competitive level. And that's it. And so, you know, that's another part of being agile to the way the world's working now. You know, you've got, I think, Zion Williamson, right? There's a good projected NBA, you know, he's the number one pick and projected rookie of the year. Pretty sure for an extended time he was homeschooled, but he was traveling mm-hmm. and playing, right? So all of our kids are set up with the state as homeschool kids. They come with us. They come collaborate and do their thing. So there is plenty of opportunity to be able to play, but we still do try to cultivate that sports community too. It's just not going to be to the extent yet of, you know, some of the other local schools.
Yeah. Yep. Is it okay if we dive into some of these stories that you've brought? You brought some entrepreneurs with you.
You bet,
is it okay
please.
If we dive into that?
I would love to.
Okay.
So
we have three entrepreneurs in the house. We have Jet Mendez. How old are you, Jet?
8.
You are 8 years old. Okay, you're the same age as my granddaughter. And you've got a business selling what?
Gummy bears.
And talk to us a little bit about your business.
That they're, like, healthy and, like, I know, like, a lot. My dad likes gummy bears, and he goes to the store and he buys the ones that you normally get, and then that gave me an idea, and then I'm like, maybe I can make gummy bears for the business fair. So then, because everyone likes gummy bears, so I just decided to make gummy bears.
And talk to us about the business. How has it changed since you started it?
So the first year I just made normal ones without the chocolate dipped,
mm-hmm.
and then the second year I did chocolate dipped ones and normal ones, and this year. Because since the chocolate business that I got sponsored by is Buttermouth, they moved to Texas, so we can't really do the chocolate dipped ones anymore. So I think these are like probably these chocolate dipped ones are the last ones that I'm making.
So they're healthy. You've been doing this 3 years. How would you describe the success? What's any keys to the success?
What does that mean?
So you've obviously grown, you've adapted. Talk to us about like what you've done to succeed. Does this require a lot of selling? What kind of work does it require on your part?
Patience, I think, because it takes a long time to make.
Okay, how do you make them?
It only has 3 ingredients, and the store bought ones have like all kinds of like crazy artificial like flavors. And if you can see, there's the artificial flavor ones.
You're pointing to some. Is that some unhealthy stuff that goes into the kind of?
This is like all the kind of unhealthy things that are in like the normal gummy bears you can buy from the store. And then I only have 3 ingredients.
You have raw honey, gelatin, and 100% juice. Wow, healthy stuff. Now, what about the chocolate? You said the chocolate covered ones. Is the chocolate healthy?
Yeah. It boosts your mood.
Oh,
has
I can use that.
Anti-inflammatory.
I get inflamed.
Benefits, calms coughs, can improve heart health, reduce stress. It
Perfect.
Tastes delicious.
Wow. Okay, so how much are they? If I wanted to buy a bag of Jets gummy bears, what's that going to run me?
What's that mean?
How much is that going to cost?
So the normal ones are like $1.25, mm-hmm. and the chocolate ones are like $3.
$3. And how much does it cost for you to make it?
I think about 50%.
Okay, so you're pretty profitable. Yeah. Nice. Okay, I'm gonna move on down the line here. We have three entrepreneurs. Jet. Okay, so you're 8 and you've been an entrepreneur for 3 years. Unbelievable. Now we also have India Litzinger. India, you have a completely different kind of business. Talk to us about your operation.
My products are just made from leather, like 100% leather. They're handmade. It's just healthy and it's raw, mm-hmm. and there's nothing weird about it. It's not fake. It's 100% real.
Well, what are those? So I see what you have there. It looks like a little wallet and then something else that's looks like it. I can't even tell what it is. So from as far away as I am. So what are these leather items?
I have a change purse because everybody always has loose change in their car and their purse.
Do you use the change purse personally?
My parents, my siblings all have them in their car because we just have change everywhere.
Hmm, okay.
And then we have earbud wraps because they're always getting tangled and it's so annoying.
Earbud wraps, okay, for like, listen, your headphones, okay.
Yeah. And then we have cord wraps for your chargers and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's good. Now, so how much are you selling your stuff for?
It depends. We also make bags, and those can be kind of pricey because it's more leather product. But for the smaller stuff, it can range from $2 to $10.
Wow. How long have you been doing it?
This was my first year this year.
Wow. What did you learn from this first year out as a young entrepreneur?
Well, a lot. Profit and loss, that's a huge thing. A lot of people think, you just make money.
Yeah.
You have to pay it back. There's all that cost.
Yes. And I mean, so you're working on all this stuff when you could be out, playing video games with your friends or goofing around, but you're running a business.
Yeah. It's much more fun.
Really? Why is it more fun? Because my granddaughter was over yesterday. We were talking about that a little bit. And so she hasn't advanced to the entrepreneurial mindset yet. But so in case she's listening, what should she be thinking in terms of like why this is fun? What's the reward? Besides making the money, a lot of kids, they already have enough money. And are you doing it for the money or why do you do it?
I'm doing it for the experience. The experience is everything for me. Hmm. Learning about marketing and profit and loss, about money and running your own business is really important, especially when you're young.
Yeah. So marketing, how do you market your product?
You have to think through the price of things if you're going to make money from it. Mm-hmm. You have to think, can I reuse products next year? Am I making the right amount? There's a ton of things. You just have to go down a list and think through.
Okay, we're going to move over to our third entrepreneur. And by the way, I forgot to ask you, India, how old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12. So our first Jet is 8, yes. Third grader. And what grade are you in, India?
I'm in 7th.
7th grade. And now we have our second Jet, who's a little bit older. This guy's a little bit more mature, and he's brought some products down here, too, that he's manufactured. Jet, tell us about your business. This is Jet Ertl.
So my business is Arc Metal Works, and what I do is I take recycled engine car parts and machinery parts, and what I do is I recycle and reuse those to create works of art, which is what I call them, but mm-hmm. People call them like furniture to lamps to chairs to tables, and it's kind of grown from just a hobby to where I get to build fun stuff to something I can actually make money off of.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so the one to my right, to your left, is a gas can that looks like it's probably from the 60s or 70s. I'm just going to take a guess. And it looks like you probably found it out somewhere. You said you found it out in a field, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then it's turned into a light that's, this looks like something that would go very well in, don't know, maybe a sports bar, I mean, or something like that? Where are you thinking that something like this would go?
A lot of people I sell those to, it goes in, like, their in-home bar.
Okay.
Or in their, little man cave, yeah, or, like, totally. A guy's garage. A lot of people who have their little workspace in their garage, they'll get stuff like that. And I do a lot of stuff that's related to cars, so I get a lot of those gearhead guys coming in. And
okay.
The cool thing is I can take parts and you can tell me what you want to have, give me a rough idea, and I can actually create what you tell me you want.
Interesting. Okay, so now your other one looks like a car part of some kind. It's also a light. And then up top, what is that? Anyway, it's part of a car.
So this is actually a piston head.
Okay.
And I got these locally sourced from they like take engines and they dismantle them, they fix the engine and stuff like that. And so it's actually cheaper for them to give me their parts for free than it is for them to take it to their like recycling plants and stuff like that. So I turned this piston head into a lamp and took galvanized piping, which is just a kind of cool to look at, and then put an Edison bulb in it, and it's just a cool little desk lamp.
So where do you get the ideas from?
I get ideas from, like, going around the internet and stuff like that and looking at what people have done and, like, kind of changing that a little bit. But mostly I just go out to what I have and fool around for a little bit and see what kind of looks cool, and then it goes from there.
So these two are both lights. Is most of what you're working on in the lighting area?
Not really. I do – a lot of lights are really easy to do just because – they're smaller and you don't have to really worry about being super perfect with them. But I go and I've been doing designs recently for, like, bigger tables, and, like, I'm in the middle of the process of doing a table out of the actual old tree trunk that I got from Folsom Lake.
Oh, is that the one you had to drag away to hundreds of pounds and you had to drag
sir.
It up the hill? All right. So what are you going to make out of that? A table?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So it's your... you've got a broad skill set. Obviously, you're working with wood, you're working with metals, you're working with electricity. Is there anything that you won't tackle?
So far, no.
Really?
I really enjoy working with my hands and being able to look at a problem and, like, be able to say I have an electrical issue and it's not working, and be able to take something apart and fix it and then say I fixed that and look at something I built and go, I'm proud of my work, is... Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than making the money off of the project.
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of people, young people your age, and they haven't really decided to work with their hands. They've decided they like electronics, or, you know, they like video games. They like things that are a little less rugged, I suppose.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind this? Is that a parent? Is it something that happened at Acton School?
Well, for a long time, like, my dad, he wanted us to be extremely, like, mechanically inclined, is what you could say, and mm-hmm. he wants us to be able to, like, know how to work with our hands and work with tools, and I've always enjoyed that. Like, he would make us take apart the old TV, or if something broke, we would take it apart and, like, look at all the microchips and stuff inside, and it kind of just grew from that, because I haven't gone strictly to Acton. I actually went to Del Oro for 2 years, and, I took their welding course there and just fell in love with working with my hands and,
you know,
with
Mike
the machinery.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
He's one of my best buddies.
Yes, I love Mr. Paul.
His wife fixed my wife and me up when we got married, so we're super good buddies. I didn't know you went to Del Oro.
Yeah.
Small world. Okay, so you took his welding shop over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I'm glad you have good things to say about him. I know he's a little on the edgy side.
Yeah.
So, good. So, I want to talk about how Acton has affected your entrepreneurial endeavor here. How did Acton, I guess, add to what you learned at Del Oro and what you learned from your dad?
Well, like, what it allows you to do is it gives you the chance to, like, really take the time that you have during the day and make it yours. So, like, versus Del Oro, where it's you're regimented and this is what you're doing and, like, they go through the same thing every single time. What Acton wants you to do is go down whatever path you want to do, and it really helps you succeed into what your plan is. So, like, as of this moment, I'm building a wood fractal burning device for one of our independent projects. And Matt's,
what's fractal?
It's a microwave transformer, and you put it onto wood, and through a water solution, it creates electrical burning into that wood, so it looks like lightning struck your piece of art. Wow.
That sounds cool. Okay, India, let's get back to you for a second here. We want to make sure, I want to know your inspiration for this entrepreneurial endeavor. How much came from Act On? How much came from maybe other people or other things that have happened to you in your life?
Well, a couple of years ago, actually, my dad started working with leather. He had kind of time on his hands, and he started working with it, and it was interesting. My family has always liked working with our hands and sewing and stuff, and he really got into this, and I started doing it along with him, and it just kind of became something I do with him, and I always would watch him cut the leather out and stuff, and so I said, hey, this would be something I could really do for the business fair this year, and so it's really fun to do.
How much time do you spend on it? You're in seventh grade. How much of your day is spent on this entrepreneurial side of things?
I think about the business fair almost every day, just thinking what I can add and what didn't sell as much. And my parents help with that a lot. And it's just all kind of falling into place with Acton helping.
How about you, Jet? What... your entrepreneurial journey, did it begin at Act On, or did it begin before that?
It began at Acton.
Okay, and talk to me about how they made it more possible. You have your fair, but what else went into helping you along, or did you do it all by yourself?
Like making Jet's gummy bears.
Making the gummy bears, creating the business, and really turning this into this thing.
My parents helped me a lot because my dad had to help me with Photoshop, and I actually drew the gummy bear. I drew the outline, and then we colored
that's
it.
That's you. That's your artwork.
We colored it in Photoshop.
So, what about the packaging? It looks like you've got some great packaging and a nice little display.
So the packaging, I think, got better over time because the first year it was just in like one of those little containers like this big with the lid, and then we moved it up to this, and then the stickers used to be just paper stickers, but now I think these ones are waterproof on the bag.
And you heard Matt talking about the difficulty, or you heard me talking about that, you know, once you start putting out, you're risking everything to put food on the table for your family. Entrepreneurship takes on a sort of a whole new meaning. Do you think you'll be entrepreneurs when you grow up, when you start to build families or go out there and you've got to pay your own bills and so on? You think you'll stay entrepreneurs? Anybody?
Maybe. Little Jet?
You think you'll stay an entrepreneur? Maybe. Or what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Robotic engineer.
Robotic engineer. Wow, what is that to you in your mind? What do you see when you see robotic engineer doing what?
Building robots.
Building
and
robots.
Dealing with electricity and all kinds of.
Exciting. So you think you'll be an entrepreneur?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because I sometimes do take apart McDonald's toys and stuff, see what's in it.
I love it. How about you, India? What do you think this experience has led you to be? Making entrepreneurship part of your journey when you get older?
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of real estate agents, and I've always kind of been interested in that. And I think there's some companies that let you, you're with a company, but you're on your own. You're your own boss, and you can kind of boss yourself around.
Do you not like to be bossed around?
Not all the time.
I know your type. My daughter is a real estate agent. She has her own company, so I can relate. She doesn't like to be bossed around either.
Yeah. I think it's cool to be your own boss, and kind of Acton helps with that. You're kind of independent. You're setting your goals for the week. You're setting what you want to do. And I think Acton's a great way to get started with that.
Now, you're already at that point now where you're thinking about Jet, Big Jet here, what you're going to do. A lot of people go out and get their degree. Maybe they're going to go get a few degrees. And maybe entrepreneurship is pretty far out in the future. I mean, your view on entrepreneurship, it seems like it's in the blood for you a little bit.
I don't think I'll ever put down, what I'm doing now. It may slow down from time to time, but I enjoy it a lot. It's my passion, and even if I'm doing something else, it's always going to be something on the table.
Yeah. What do you think you'll be doing? What's the plan?
I'm going into the trades, so I'll be welding.
You'll be welding?
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
You already have something lined up?
I have a couple ideas lined up. Yeah. I've had a couple in through Acton, actually. I've actually had a couple internships with welders.
Okay. And let's not forget that Mark here, me, I'm an investor, so I'm always looking if you guys have good ideas and you need to be backed by somebody that's got a little experience, maybe a little too much experience. Don't forget about good old Marky down here. You never know. I might want to invest in some of these ideas. These are great. But whenever I invest, you may come across this in the future if you ever go out and get investment. Some investors want to invest into the product. Oh, these are really cool products. I think we can make a killing on this. Other people may think that, I want to change the world. I think those healthy gummy bears are going to be so good for society. And people like me, I like to invest into the entrepreneur himself or herself and help them to achieve their dreams, because I feel like so many times, I mean, we talked about this earlier, how hard it is to be an entrepreneur. A high percentage of entrepreneurs, their businesses fail, especially that first time they start off. There's a high failure rate. And I like to be working with people, investing into people who will never quit, that don't accept failure as an option, which is maybe not the norm, but that's where I come from. So you all three strike me as the type that are going to battle through, figure it out, and work independently. So really hear about these stories. I mean, when you hear these stories, I mean, Matt, seriously, I mean, is this typical? Are these the all-stars of Acton, or is this typical?
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's that's not hyperbole. That's yes and yes. I mean, these are all-stars. And we truly believe that every child that comes through our doors is a genius. It's just, where's that genius lie? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? You know, and I believe that. My staff believes that. The community believes that. And part of it, as we believe that, we see it, you know. And so these guys are a great example. And I brought these three, and I love these three to death. And I could have brought 100 more, mm-hmm. and would have shared similar kind of stories. I mean, that's just the reality of it, you know. And I think that entrepreneurial spirit really is naturally in all of us. And a lot of times I think it gets schooled out. Yeah. You know, I think it really does. So,
well, traction is so important. We have a little jet there, 3 years worth of traction, and things are improving.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to think about the vision for Acton Placer and the organization. I mean, how do you see it changing as you develop more traction? Because we know that things at the beginning are a lot tougher, and then ultimately things start popping, really clicking in a way that really can change the world.
For sure. And that's, you know, we've seen that. So we started a few years ago. We were at Johnson Springview Park. Right, in this one kind of square building. We went from that to kind of operating out of these two buildings. It was great to have the space. They were these older buildings, and then now we're open year three, and we just purchased a $5 million campus, you know, what used to be the Vernon Street School.
Oh, right,
it's
right.
A beautiful facility. So we're already seeing that trajectory. And then, you know, with how much notoriety, with really very little marketing at all, it's because of the product of these kids. It's the kids, mm-hmm. who they are and what they're doing, and they're changing their families. And, you know, we're pouring into the families too, and the whole family's changing. And so we've got all of these stories of growth that's happening. That's what's driving the fact that we've got so many people coming to our open house. We're continuing to partner with the community in so many different events. Really, at this point, we have to give serious consideration to campus number two. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think there will be, you know, the Sacramento area, as you know, is, I mean, it really is a hotbed for entrepreneurial DNA. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, 4 or 5 campuses realistically in this area is not, is not out of the realm of possibility sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you are making a huge difference. Thank you. Appreciate what you're doing for my hometown, our hometown. Yeah. You three are the future, and mm-hmm. Matt, I really appreciate what you're doing. You're helping develop, the future of this great town that we live in.
As are you, you know, and I think that's why this is beautiful. And this is why we appreciate so much. We feel like it's a kindred spirit. And, you know, you're doing the same thing. So we're very appreciative as well.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And congratulations on your success.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.